Welcome to the AR Show, where I dive deep into augmented reality with a focus on the technology and uses of smart glasses and the people behind them. I'm your host, Jason McDowell. I want to kick off 2019 with a monologue. Happy New Year, by the way. Hope yours is off to a great start. Over the next few minutes, I want to restate why I believe augmented reality in general, and smart glasses in particular, will have a profound impact on our lives. While some might say it's still too early to be investing in this space, and there's certainly some evidence to support that in 2018, I believe there's enough enabling technology available today to build some meaningful businesses. I'll talk through some of that and mention some things to look forward to in 2019. So, let's dive in. As you know, AR is about integrating digital information, whether it's images, sounds, or haptics, to enhance your understanding or experience within the physical environment. Over the last few decades, we've seen the PC and smartphone, combined with the internet, have a profound and far-reaching impact on our lives. Smart glasses are the next step in the evolution of personal information technology. And like the technologies that came before, I think smart glasses will have a dramatic effect on the human experience. Once they've been fully realized, smart glasses will enable each and every person to be more creative and productive and to achieve greater enlightenment and accomplishment. Smart glasses will do this by improving the connection, the bandwidth, between our brains and these external compute and communications resources. One way to visualize this is to imagine you have this magic little helper with the knowledge and processing power of the internet riding shotgun on your face. And this little dude is able to conjure images, sounds, and sensations for you based on what you're experiencing in the real world and what you intend to do. Most fundamentally, smart glasses will reduce the time from intention to action by more than 10x, meaning smart glasses will improve the time between our desire to know something or do something until the action is complete and completed correctly by more than 10 times over today's computers and phones. Rather than having to pull your phone out of your pocket, enter your passcode, search for some info, consume it, and then act on it, imagine knowing the answer to the question on the tip of your brain the moment you touch your phone. That speed up is driven by the device being hands-free, the display always visible, sensors that see and understand the environment around you, and the ability to precisely overlay the digital on top of the physical world. That's useful when you want to try a new recipe in the kitchen, troubleshoot a broken machine, find an item in a warehouse, assemble and validate a component in a factory, receive guidance and translations when traveling in a foreign country, learn how to play the piano, guide the mentally or physically impaired, redesign the interior of your living room, and so many more. Those are the types of things I can imagine today, but I think there's something potentially even more profound. When we reduce the time between intention and action from tens of seconds with a phone to seconds or milliseconds with smart glasses, we change the way we think and what we're capable of doing. That's not a small thing. Much more than a smartphone is today, the virtual assistant embodied by the smart glasses becomes an extension of our thinking selves. There are some designers and entrepreneurs out there who will take this future state of smart glasses, combined with the next generation wireless internet and mesh networking, and they are going to create profound new products and experiences. For me, this is the promise of smart glasses. They will transform how we discover, how we make decisions, and how we interact with the people, the objects, and the information around us. That's why I'm all in on augmented reality and smart glasses. Of course, we still have a long ways to go. On the plus side, major companies are pouring billions of dollars into bringing these things to life. That list includes Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Samsung, Epson, Magic Leap, Snap, and so many more. And that's just the hardware. All of these and more, including Amazon, Adobe, Niantic, are working on the software. Of course, there are many, many startups focused here as well. On the minus side, 2018 was a bit of a rough year. Before I get into this, I should say that some of these comments are based on credible reporting, and some are just rumor that I've read about. Forgive me for perpetrating a rumor if it's not true, but a few of the smaller companies focused on hardware are having a lot of trouble. Meta was building a headset with a wide field of view and complementary user interface and operating system stuff. They dramatically shrank their headcount in 2018 by 75%. Avegant is another headset manufacturer with an interesting approach to solving some of the challenges with near-eye displays. They dramatically shrank. ODG is a company with a long history and some of the most compelling smart glasses technology that you can buy. They are rumored to be undergoing some major internal upheaval and may be completely out for the count. That's a lot of carnage. But to put that into broader context, let's look at a few more. Magic Leap shipped their first headset. It's not what many expected, but the Magic Leap 1 is a step forward for the industry, in my opinion. Vuzix is offering their sleek, lightweight blade glasses, which you can order now and expect delivery in 4 to 6 weeks, according to their website. They don't mix the digital info with the physical world, but they are a hands-free display with a camera. Thalmic Labs rebranded as North and shifted their focus away from understanding gestures and towards consumer smart glasses. You can visit a store in Brooklyn or Toronto to get fitted for a pair of their glasses, which I think are the most consumer-friendly looking pair of glasses available today. Similar to the Vuzix Blade, the North Focals offer a monocular display with a level of detail similar to a smartwatch. They also include a joystick that's embedded in a ring that you use to control the menu. We'll see how they do. On the top end of the sales volume is Epson, who has found a market among drone pilots. Andy Lowry from RealWear was on the show several weeks back, and he reports their industrial-grade hands-free system is doing quite well. Microsoft is still selling the HoloLens, and Google is still selling the Glass, and they're having some success selling to manufacturing, logistics, and healthcare professionals. Microsoft also recently won a $500 million contract to supply smart glasses to U.S. warfighters. But man, progress felt slow in 2018. We see all of these positive ROI stories from industrial and enterprise companies. They've proven to themselves the value is real, and often substantial, in the right conditions. But the decline of Meta, Avegant, and ODG suggests many of the current offerings are not good enough to satisfy their needs around safety, comfort, security, environment, or overall quality of experience. Clearly, more work and more innovation is needed. In general, I think there are three major buckets of hurdles. The first bucket contains comfort and the quality of the visual experience. These things are tightly related in my mind. So much of the system's volume and weight and heat are driven by the needs of the display system. And of course, the angular resolution, field of view, and having the brightness to be worn outside are also driven by the display system. As Carl Gutog mentioned in the recent replay of his episode, the likely solution is to abandon LCD-based technology and to look past OLED technology to ultimately bring inorganic micro-LED to market. Nobody has done this yet, and it isn't a solved problem. Do not get distracted by other people who market micro-LED, like Samsung for TVs. Solving the problem set for smart glasses is substantially harder. The second bucket contains the system's understanding of my intentions and the world around me, as well as the approach to communicating those possible interactions or information back to me. I may be painting this one too broadly, but it's a mix of world understanding and user experience. Recent work on the AR cloud fits in this bucket, as does work by companies focused on gesture recognition. This is a set of problems that will mostly be solved in software, but there may be some hardware innovation here as well. I think we'll see the most progress in this bucket over the next few years. The last bucket is social acceptance. The idea of me feeling confident wearing them and interacting with them, as well as you accepting that I've always got a camera pointing at you. Solving this is partially about the previous two buckets. The better the system feels and looks, as well as the better the system understands me, the less awkward I will feel wearing them. But I think it's mostly about familiarity. The better we as a society understand smart glasses, and the more often we see them, the more comfortable we'll be around them. So with those setbacks in 2018 and some of the hurdles that still remain, why is now not too early? I believe there are enough foundational pieces in place that meaningful customer value and businesses can be created. Today's smartphones can enable some compelling or at least good enough AR experiences that enhance existing mobile or even web apps. Examples include the try before you buy experiences in the IKEA, Wayfair, or Amazon apps, or the similar see before you build experiences being created for architecture or engineering projects. They also include the social expressions in Snapchat, Facebook Messenger, and others. Companies such as Planner leverage the camera to quickly capture the dimensions of a room as part of a bigger workflow for insurance assessment or remodeling. We also have companies such as 6D.ai, Sturfy, Ubiquiti 6, 8th Wall, and others creating tools for other developers to create more compelling mobile AR experiences. In VR, we're seeing a lot of progress with training solutions across healthcare and enterprises more broadly. Collaboration and communication solutions are gaining footing, and we're also seeing some compelling examples of using VR for therapy. Some video game companies are able to fully sustain within VR as well. On the smart glasses side, with today's head-worn camera and display systems, we're seeing successful trials and some deployments of solutions for bringing remote expertise to bear on a local problem, guided instructions, and capturing work as it's completed for later validation or knowledge transfer. And let's not forget glasses for drone pilots. We're also seeing the major players continue to acquire startups and invest for the future. Looking forward to 2019, I think we'll see some incremental iteration on the hardware side. We'll probably see version 2 of Microsoft's HoloLens and lots of talk about version 2 of Magic Leap. We may see a spec bump for Google Glass, which is now an enterprise-focused product. I'm interested to see the progress from Vuzix, Kopin, Rokid, Dreamworld, and others at CES later this week. I don't think we'll see anything from Facebook or Apple regarding smart glasses. In fact, I don't think Apple ships anything in 2020, 2021, or even 2022. Maybe we'll see something in 2023. Maybe. And when that pair of glasses arrive, it'll be as a complement to the phone, not as a replacement. That said, I think we'll see a steady stream of AR-related improvements to iPhone and AirPods. Speaking of audio, I think we'll also see version 2 of the Bose AR glasses, which is audio only. We'll continue to see companies cram more and better sensors into glasses, where that data can be consumed on a phone or a computer. Snap's spectacles are a good example of this, and a new version is expected this year as well. I think North's approach of putting the smartwatch functionality directly in front of your eyes is a pretty decent one. I'm not sure they are going to be the ones to do this successfully, but I can see this narrow, focused, incremental approach being pursued by others as well. Vuzix is doing something similar. I think the Oculus Quest and other standalone 6DoF VR rigs are going to be 5 to 10 times more successful than their predecessors, which opens up a lot more opportunities for software creators. I think Vario will be disappointed by the number of companies eager to spend $10,000 on a high-end VR rig, but hopefully it'll be enough to sustain them for future versions. I also like the idea of pass-through video on VR rigs for creating AR-like experiences. We could see some really interesting experimentation around use cases that will work even better with smart glasses. Of course, the pass-through video and augmentation has to be very low latency, otherwise it's going to make you sick. The biggest breakthroughs in 2019 will come from improvements in the camera and smartphone's ability to understand where you are and what's around you. This fits in the second bucket I mentioned earlier. Along those lines, Niantic recently announced a $1 million competition for independent game and entertainment developers to help exercise their AR cloud platform. The deadline to submit is soon, but it's worth reading the fine print. I'm really interested in where Niantic is going with their platform. They've been optimizing for massively multiplayer casual games and have only wanted to work with big studios like Warner Brothers in the past, so this recently announced competition is intriguing. Anyway, those are my thoughts as we enter 2019. I'm still very high on the potential for smart glasses. While progress towards the ideal solution has been slow, there are billions of dollars being poured into this industry from a broad spectrum of players, and we will get there. Although the inflection point won't come this year. In the meantime, there are some really exciting opportunities that leverage the hardware available today. I look forward to learning more about where we are and where we're going through the conversations I have with entrepreneurs, executives, and investors. I'm grateful to be part of this industry. Thank you for listening. Before you go, I want to tell you about the next episode. In it, I speak with Martina Welkoff. Martina is the founding partner at WXR Fund, a fund dedicated to investing in immersive technology startups that are committed to equal gender representation. Martina and I talk about gender diversity, both as a cultural and economic driver for good. We discuss the WXR Fund's accelerator program, as well as Martina's experiences raising money for the fund and how it differed from raising money for a startup. We also get into Martina's experience as a co-founder and CEO of a successful tech startup and some of the lessons she learned there. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss this or other great episodes. Until next time.